Here comes Kansas ahead to Wilson. Wild pass. Saves behind his back. Oates for three. He got it. What a feed from Jalen Wilson behind his back to Abaji for three. And Fieldhouse fans on their feet.
Number 10, Kansas rolls number 8, Baylor. 83-59 on Saturday. And KU atop the Big 12 standings alone, and in essence a two-game lead. They can really grab this conference by the throat with a win tonight on the road at Texas. KU destroying Baylor, who came in ranked 8th, KU ranked 10th, and it wasn't even close. KU jumped out to a 12-2 lead, led by as many as 34, 79-45. Watching that game, it looked like Baylor forgot to get off the bus. They had no energy, no aggressiveness, and it just looked like they had a long week and partied too long the night before or something. It was weird. But Kansas absolutely destroyed him. As you heard, amazing save, and then the pass, no-look pass by Wilson, who's going out of bounds right on the money to Ochai, who nailed the three. That was pretty awesome. That gave KU a 27-point lead. Ochai was cleared. He had a negative test, so he got to play. 18 points, 9 rebounds. Christian Brown, 18 points, 10 rebounds. Jalen Wilson with 15 points as Kansas got it done. And Bill Self, the head coach of the Jayhawks, terrific win for his squad.
We played really well that first half. I wish we could bottle that every game, but we didn't actually shoot it great because we got so many layups. Our percentage was okay, but other than that, we ran, we shared it, the ball moved, we defended great, we rebounded. Except for the last 5 minutes of the first half, we dominated the glass. And the second half, we didn't play probably quite as crisp or as well, and it was so choppy because there were so many fouls early on. But we did make our free throws early on in the second half, which was good. And everybody got a chance to play, and we didn't have to extend too much energy. So it was a great Saturday afternoon.
Now, the prior Saturday, KU was blown out by Kentucky, a game that Bill Self said really didn't mean much. This one against Baylor meant a lot more, and KU was not going to lose two in a row at home, according to Christian Brown, and you just don't see KU do that very often. KU now 19-3 overall, 8-1 in the Big 12, two-game lead over Baylor right now, and they, of course, they'll play again down in Waco later this year, and that's probably a game where the Bears will make everything and KU will go cold. You just never know, but I know Baylor that this could be a good loss for Baylor, just like the loss of Kentucky appears to be a good loss for the Jayhawks. We'll talk about KU's big matchup tonight at number 23 Texas coming up in just a moment, plus K-State and Wichita State won over the weekend as well. There was a Pro Bowl game, NFL game, if you want to call it NFL game, more like touch football. I don't even know why they put pads on. And we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. He was interviewed on the sideline, get his thoughts after losing to the Bengals in the AFC title game. Chiefs have made a coaching hire, and we'll update you on the head coaching situation in the National Football League, as there's now only two openings available. Perhaps one of those two goes to Eric Bieniemy. We'll discuss that coming up in just a little bit. But first, Dusty with local sports.
Yeah, not a whole lot. There was some wrestling over the weekend. The Phillipsburg Panther Classic took place there. Beloit and Osborne competing. You can find the full results for that tournament at ncksports.com. We can tell you, team-wise, Oxy took first place. They've just been rolling through the competition this year and definitely the favorite to win 3-2-1A this year as well. They had 207.5 points to Phillipsburg's 113.5 in second. Individually for Beloit, they had three medalists. Brenna Walker beat the number 1 and 2 ranked wrestlers in the state at 195 on his way to a championship at the 195-pound weight class for Beloit. Again, Brenna Walker finishing in first there, and then two third-place finishes for the Trojans as Caden Anderson at 152 pounds brought home a third-place medal, and Tate Cadle as well at 170 pounds finishing in third place. So, again, you can find all the results from the Phillipsburg Panther Classic if you check it out all online at ncksports.com. As far as today's schedule is concerned, there is one immediate area basketball team in action here this evening, and that's the Smith Center Redmond and Letty Red. They're at Superior, Nebraska tonight in high school hoops action. So if you have a chance there, Redmond fans, get up there and support the Lady Red and Redmond. Again, that's Smith Center at Superior here tonight. We can also tell you we have high school hoops coming up tomorrow night as well on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com, and online video at ncksports.com with the Blue Trojan channel, and then Z96.3 through the lake and katycountry94.com as well. So stay tuned for all of that. We have on Katy Country 94 and ncksports.com Southeast of Saline at Beloit, as that'll take place tomorrow night. We'll have pregame coverage for the girls at 5:50, tip off at 6 o'clock, and then the boys game to follow in that one coming up here tomorrow night on Katy Country 94. Again, online video at ncksports.com. And also coming up tomorrow on Z96 Point Through the Lake and KittyCountry94.com High School Hoops as we have a Northern Plains League showdown between the Lakeside Knights and the St. John's Tipton Blue Jays. That'll be in Downs. Again, I have pregame coverage for the girls' contest at 5:50 and tip-off at 6 o'clock with the boys' game to follow coming up tomorrow night on Z96.3 and KittyCountry94.com. So high school hoops tonight for Smith Center, and then on the radio tomorrow night, you can find the full schedule for all of tomorrow night's high school hoops action at NCKS Sports, as well as all the information you need for local sports at NCKSSports.com.
All right, KU back in action tonight. They'll be at Texas, 7:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake, and tip-off at 8 o'clock. Texas 23rd in the country, KU ranked 10th. Those rankings will change when they come out later this morning. Bill Self, another tough game during this very difficult part of the schedule for the Jayhawks.
The bottom line is we circled this stretch as being a key stretch, and we've got two of the three and have a chance to get a third, but we'll have to be as good as we were to have a chance to get a third. And I don't even think that would guarantee success. Texas can really guard, and they've got terrific experienced players. And so we're going to have to be, and they got a guy on their staff that knows all our stuff. So we're going to have to be really focused. I think we will be, though.
All right, so KU, man, they're off to a great start in the Big 12, and they have a chance to really enhance their lead and get all these road wins that they've been able to do. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, KU wins, they win Big 12 titles because they never lose at home. They also win a lot on the road. That's really what gets it done for them. They can win in hostile environments, and that's the difference between everybody else in the Big 12 winning Big 12 titles. Baylor was able to do it last year. Baylor went to KU and won. That was one of the big wins they had on the road. KU has been able to win on the road in this conference, find a way to win one way or the other. They go to Iowa State shorthanded without Ochai, they find a way to win. They go to Oklahoma, they find a way to win, didn't play great. Go to K-State getting blitzed, find a way to come back and win. That's just what Bill Self and his teams do, and they have since he's become the head coach of the Jayhawks. So KU at Texas tonight, and the Big 12 probably cheering for Texas to make this a little bit closer when it comes to the Big 12 race. K-State with a win over TCU on Saturday night, 75-63. Wildcats 12-10 overall, 4-6 in the Big 12. Sophomore Nigel Pack paced four Wildcats in double figures as he had a game-high 20. K-State avenging a loss to TCU early in the year that they basically handed that game to TCU. But this one, K-State led basically the entire way, 75-63. Bruce Weber, head coach of the Wildcats, very pleased with getting a win on the road in the Big 12.
Just happy for our guys. So, you know, again, we've talked about just playing with passion, and, you know, they were going to come out. I thought they had good bounce, but we took it to them. I thought the start of the game, we were pretty good. Start of second half, just like the game in Bramlage, they took it to us, but we never surrendered the lead, kept it 39-37. I believe Mike McGurl hit the big long three when they kind of lost him. Got it to five, and then, you know, something like a 20-8 run where we got a 12-point advantage and got it up in double digits. Now it's the same as last time. They're going to press us, take care of the basketball. Got to square up, got to be strong with it. We did a better job this time of looking down the court and getting it over their press and then just finishing the game.
So Wildcats win by 12 on the road at TCU. K-State will host Baylor coming up on Wednesday, February 9th. Baylor destroyed K-State earlier in the year down at Waco. Other Big 12 scores of the weekend: Oklahoma State knocks off Oklahoma 64-55. Texas blows out Iowa State 63-41. Texas Tech wins at Morgantown at West Virginia 62-53. Tomorrow night, it's Oklahoma State at TCU, Iowa State at West Virginia. Of course, KU at Texas tonight, and then Texas Tech at Oklahoma on Wednesday. Baylor at K-State on Wednesday at 7 o'clock there in Bramlage. Wichita State Shockers come away with a win, 72-57 over SMU. Kendrick Davis, the American Athletic Conference's top scorer, held to a season-low 8 points on 1-of-7 shooting. Dexter Dennis did a wonderful job defending him, 12 points below his season average. SMU, 19 baskets, 17 turnovers. That usually is not a good recipe for success, especially on the road, as the Shockers win 72-57. They've won three in a row at Coke Arena, 12-8 overall, 3-5 in the AAC. Isaac Brown pleased with the victory.
Great win by us. I thought Dexter Dennis was key to the game. He's the best guard defender in our conference. Hopefully he'll get Defensive Player of the Year. He's going up against an NBA guy in Kendrick Davis, who averages 20 points a game, 5 assists, 90% from the free throw line. He held a guy to 7 points tonight. I thought that was the key. In the first half, I felt like we executed on offense. We were getting the ball. where we needed to get it. Guys were taking good shots. We did a better job when Ricky got in the game, getting it to the middle and just attacking. But overall, I thought it was a great win.
So the Shockers get the win 72-57. K-State women now 17-6, 7-4 in Big 12 play as they were able to hold on and beat Texas Tech behind National Player of the Year candidate Ayuka Lee, who surpassed the 1,500-point mark for her career in a Wildcats win, 82-75. She's the fastest to accomplish that. And there was 5,600 people there, Bram, that cheer on the K-State women, which is awesome. And Lee, once again, very efficient, 31 points, 12 of 15 from the floor, 7-9 from the line as K-State got the win over Texas Tech by 7. Well, I wasn't planning on watching any of this game, but then my youngest came across it on TV, and so he started watching the Pro Bowl. And then he asked, why aren't they tackling? And I said, because apparently there's a gentleman's agreement that you can't tackle in the Pro Bowl. I don't know why they bother putting helmets. I mean, really, this game is a joke. It's a complete and utter joke. There are tons of empty seats at Las Vegas for the Pro Bowl. But here's one of the highlights, at least.
0-2. The AFC. Will they give him the touchdown? And they will. Justin Herbert to Mark Andrews of the Ravens for 15 and the score.
Listen, what happens before the Pro Bowl, what they do before that in Vegas was a lot better. They had dodgeball competitions, passing accuracy competition that was won by Russell Wilson. They had the fastest man where Tyreek Hill didn't even try. I mean, that's the stuff that's kind of fun. It's like the NBA. It's like the game, the All-Star game isn't that big a deal, but everything leading up to it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Three-point contest, skills competition, slam dunk competition. You usually have a celebrity game or something. So that's what it's really about. But the Pro Bowl is just like – imagine the NBA. Well, the NBA All-Star game, until the fourth quarter, they don't really try that hard either. Yeah. But at least there's something on the line. The Pro Bowl, there isn't. Because in the NBA, they have, like, charities, and they give a lot of money out to the winning teams, captains, charities, or whatever. But the Pro Bowl is just ridiculous. I mean, the guy runs the ball. He hand it off. He runs 2 yards, and they don't even hardly touch him. And then the play's over. They might as well. Honestly, it'd be more fun just watching them play flag and see if they can get the 2 flags, one on each hip. Seriously, that would be more entertaining,
sure,
to be quite honest with you. And you get to see the players, you know, their eyes, their face, expressions more instead of a helmet on them. Because that's what this is. It's not tackle football. It's I don't know why anybody would spend any money to go to that game.
No.
But there were a lot of empty seats, and rightfully so. And there's no need to have the Pro Bowl if that's what we're going to have. Anyway, the AFC won, if you cared. 41-35. If you care about the Chiefs and what they did, Patrick Mahomes, 5 of 10, 53 yards. An interception. Tyreek Hill, 4 catches, 27 yards. Travis Kelce, 1 for 10 yards. Orlando Brown played offensive line and blocked when nobody was really rushing that hard. Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu defended, if you want to call it that. I saw where Frank Clark didn't even try to rush the passer, which some people would say, how's that any different than the regular season? My oldest said, how's he a Pro Bowler? I'd like, I have no idea. Tyrann Mathieu, you know, didn't even try to jump to knock down a ball. There was a play in the end zone. He just backed off. Like, whatever, I ain't going to get hurt. I'm a free agent. And so the AFC wins 41-35. It's great those guys have fun in Vegas, have a good time, although Alvin Kamara got arrested. So a little bit too much fun, apparently. Yeah. So what do they call that, Vegas? The City of Sin? So that was the Pro Bowl. The only thing I took out of the Pro Bowl, quite honestly, and I happened to catch it because I was watching part of it in the first half, only because I had nothing else to do at the time. I was at home alone with the boys. My wife was out of town with some friends. And my youngest wanted to watch it. I'm like, whatever. So my eyes got heavy, and I think I may have fallen asleep for a few minutes as well, which is perfectly fine. But probably the most interesting thing coming out of it for Chiefs fans was the interview with Patrick Mahomes on the sideline with Lisa Salters. Lisa Salters asked if he had gotten over the loss to the Bengals.
I'm still not over it. I mean, I don't think I'll be over it until we're playing another Super Bowl. So I'll have to use that as motivation going forward.
And already you're thinking about next season. What thoughts are going through your mind about how to get over the hump and get back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we have to go through the process again. You start from scratch every single year in this league, and you have to go in with the mindset I'm going to get better and better every single day, and hopefully give yourself a chance to be in the Super Bowl.
All right, well, you know, there's two ways of looking at all this with Patrick Mahomes and how poorly he played in the second half against the Bengals. And I think the two ways to look at it are the two ways I was looking at it after he made his play at the end of the first half. And I was thinking really, really optimistic. I was like, dude, Mahomes is going to be so mad that he messed that up. He's going to come out, she's going to go right down the field, score a touchdown, and that'll take care of it. So it won't be a big deal. Instead, it was the opposite. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs floundered. Mahomes played very poorly. And so now I'm sitting here like, normally if I heard that comment, I'd be like, dude, look out, people. Look out, people. But that's what we said after the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even get back to the Super Bowl this year. So I'm sitting there going, well, normally I'd be like, oh, look out. Mahomes is on a mission. He's going to use his motivation. That's what makes the greats great, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of what I thought would happen to start the second half against the Bengals. So perhaps my thinking of Patrick Mahomes has the luster has been knocked down a little bit for me to where I'm like, yeah, you should be really motivated, but that doesn't automatically mean you're going to go in the Super Bowl next year. So I do wonder how he's going to respond next year. And I'm not, and here's the thing, you can go through the whole preseason, training camp, regular season, and he might have the best year of his career, which would be saying something. I mean, the best year of his career, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. Let's say he goes out next year and he throws for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. That's possible. It's possible. I think it's a bad sign if he has to throw for 50 touchdowns, but 5,000 yards is fine now with 17 games. Brady had 5,300 and the Bucs were good. But none of that's going to matter. The only way he's going to be judged is what happens in the playoffs again next year. Mm-hmm. The only thing the Chiefs are worried about is winning the Super Bowl, getting to the Super Bowl, winning it. It ain't about making it to the divisional round and losing. So, you know, the Chiefs are 8-2 at Arrowhead with Mahomes as a playoff starter, which is really, really good. But the two losses are in the AFC title game where they're 2-2 with him at quarterback. One really wasn't his fault, as we know. This last one, you could put a lot of blame on him, but there's other people could have done more too, like Chris Jones. So when I look at it, like normally I'd be like super optimistic going into offseason, going into next year. But for me, I'm guarded. And here's why I'm guarded. One, the last thing I saw Patrick Mahomes was how he played in the second half. Mm-hmm. That's the lasting impression. Had he played great in the second half, horrible in the first half, my thinking probably be different today. The other part that makes me have caution is that teams don't go to the AFC title game or NFC title game 5 years in a row. So it's just, I mean, it just doesn't happen. And the Chiefs have hosted 4 years in a row. It just doesn't happen. So the odds are against them. The other thing is the injuries. Hill and Kelsey somehow have made it through the seasons. They're due to have an injury. I've said this for 2 years now, and maybe they're just unbreakable, which is great. I hope so. What are the Chiefs going to do to replace Tyrann Mathieu if they don't re-sign him? He's a leader of the defense. There are lots of questions for this Chiefs team going in the offseason. They got to manage the salary cap. They got to figure out if they're going to bring in a big-time free agent pass rusher, perhaps. Maybe they're going to have to go get a safety that's a little bit cheaper in Mathieu because they can't afford Mathieu or don't want to pay Mathieu. Maybe they go young. They're going to have to really draft well. But there are questions with this team because, you know, they had all the luster. Then they got blown out by the Bucs in the Super Bowl, and Mahomes is running for his life. And a lot of Mahomes apologists said, listen, he had no right tackle, left tackle. He's running for his life. Okay? I remember talking about this after the Super Bowl. Half the time, I understood why he was running for his life, but there were times where he didn't have to run for his life. He didn't trust the pocket. In fairness to Mahomes, why would you trust your pocket the way that game was going? The Bengal game, there was no reason to scamper and run around many times. When he ended up getting sacked, it was because of him. He didn't throw the ball, didn't throw it away, didn't throw it when it was open, and he went backwards, he went sideways. And yeah, some of those plays he makes are sexy and awesome, and that's great when you're winning. But if you're not winning and you're not making plays like that in the biggest games, then doesn't it really not become as sexy at all? To me, it doesn't, because I want to win. And if he doesn't have any no-look passes and he doesn't throw these off-balance throws for touchdowns, but that means the Chiefs win more Super Bowls, I'm okay with the old step up in the pocket, fire it for a touchdown. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Patrick Mahomes playing real quarterback and stepping up when the offensive line gives him a pocket. Now, if there's nothing there and he scrambles for 15 yards, I have no problem with that. Yeah, there's times when you're actually going to pressure, you roll right, you make a great play. But it's that pressure that isn't there that he feels. That's the part that worries me about Patrick Mahomes going forward. And he was talking about, you know, I want to learn from my mistakes against the Buccaneers. I want to learn from my mistakes, and I want to take the checkdowns. I want to take what the defense gives me. And Mahomes did that really well after they started 3-4. But then what happened in the biggest game of the year? He reverted back to the way he was because of, I think, the mistake he made at the end of the first half. So is he going to let that carry forward? Yeah, you want that loss to sting. You want that loss to be in the back of his mind or in the front of his mind for a long time. You want that to be motivation for Patrick Mahomes. But that loss, as he said right there, will never go away until they get back to the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you right now, that loss will never go away if he wins 5 Super Bowls in a row because it's a missed opportunity. He will never forget that. Coaches, players, typically, if they're really, really big-time competitors, they remember the losses a heck of a lot more than they remember the wins. You know, Tom Brady talks more. Tom Brady said it. He goes, those 3 losses still bother him in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the 2 to the Giants I know irks him because he couldn't beat Eli Manning. I know that irks him. He went 7-3 in Super Bowls. He's not thinking about the ones that he won that we shouldn't have won. He's thinking about the ones that they should have won that they lost. And if you're the Chiefs, you got to be sitting there going, well, you know, we weren't going to beat the Buccaneers because we were shorthanded right tackle, left tackle. We just got blown out. Fine. But you will, I mean, Kelce, Hill, Andy Reid, I mean, they could win two Super Bowls. You know, the next 2 years they could win the Super Bowl. It's still going to be there. Does it take away some of the sting of losing? Yeah, it does take away some of the sting by losing to the Bengals when you had a 21-3 lead. And here's the thing. There's a difference, too, between the Chiefs and the Royals, for instance. The Chiefs, they've said all along after they won the Super Bowl, they wanted to be a dynasty. That was the word. The players have used it. Their people in the front office have used it, that they want to go back-to-back or they want to get 2 out of 3. Now they got to see if they can get 2 out of 4 and they have a great run, 4 straight AFC title games at home. But they want to be a dynasty. They don't want to just be a team that's really good that wins one every once in a while. They want to win multiple Super Bowls. The Kansas City Royals in 2014, you know, I was right there, and I was just like, dadgummit, Bumgarner, you messed it all up for us. I'm like, we'll never get there again. You got to take advantage of your opportunity. The Royals will never get there again. That was my feeling. Like, man, this is a great year, great run. Lose Game 7 of the World Series, 90 feet away from tying it, sending in extra innings. And when Salvador Perez popped up to Pablo Sandoval, I was like, goodness gracious, that was the chance. And the Royals used that as motivation to get back. They were so close. They used that as motivation. They only focused on getting back there and winning it all. And they did. And that took away a lot of the sting from 2014 being so close to winning it. But in 14, they weren't really expected to win it. 15, they kind of were on the American League side because they had the best record. But here's my point. When they won it in 15, there was no talk about going back-to-back. There was no, we're going to be a dynasty. It was, hey, we got one. We didn't get the 1 year before. We were kind of playing house money. We worked really hard. We had the best record in the American League. We made the right moves in the offseason, and we made the right trades, and we won it all. And now we're at the top of the mountain. We're a small market team. We ain't going to go back-to-back. Everybody knew they weren't going back-to-back, more than likely. I know you and I didn't think they were going back-to-back, so forth and so on. So as Royals fans, what were we? We were super satisfied. Oh, back-to-back World Series appearances, you know, didn't expect them to be there in 14. 15, we were hoping they'd be there, but we figured the odds were against them. And if they don't rally against the Astros and in the game 4 of the ALDS, they don't even make it out of the ALDS, and then you're going, oh man, you know, there was that chance and we blew it, we didn't get it done against Bumgarner. The Chiefs are different. When the Chiefs won their, when they went to the AFC title game against the Patriots and they lost in overtime, the next year people are saying the Chiefs are a favorite, they're gonna be the ones that unseat the Patriots. And the Chiefs the very next year, they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And so then the talk wasn't, all right, phew, sure feel a lot better after that Patriot loss, takes away the sting. Yeah, it did. It did with the Patriots, because you didn't really expect to be there when Mahomes' first year as a starter. Most Chiefs fans didn't expect to be that close to a Super Bowl in his first year. The second year, you win the Super Bowl, and now you got your key pieces back. That's one thing with the Royals. You couldn't keep everything because of the way baseball was. So you get you got the Chiefs, and like, okay, we got the band back together. They brought everybody back but like one starter. And they were a heavy favorite to win the Super Bowl. And they did everything right. 14-1, backups the final game, 14-2. They roll through the playoffs, and then they get blown out by the Buccaneers. All of a sudden, the invincibility disappears. So now, the only goal, of course, after winning one, is to go back-to-back. Well, okay, you lose. Well, okay, now the goal is to get it back, to get back to the top of the mountain. And now, here we are. They start out 3-4. They're kind of maybe bored. They've been through these long seasons. They know that they're not going to be ultimately judged how they go 3-4. They're going to be judged on how they end. They turn on the switch. They do what they have to do. They get the number 2 seed, nearly got the 1 seed, get the 2 seed. Then they luck out, get home field advantage. Then they go up against a team that doesn't have experience in that game. They get up 21-3. It is all there for them. It is all there, right for the picking. There we go. Super Bowl 3 straight years. Teams don't do that. Hardly ever. They could get their second Super Bowl in 3 years, and then they lay a big fat goose egg offensively in the second half. So Chiefs fans are not satisfied. The Chiefs helped build those expectations. Royals fans were satisfied. 15, we got it. We're good. Probably going to go back the way we were eventually. We got it. I never thought the Royals would ever win a World Series. I never thought the Royals would go to 2 back-to-back years. Man, that's house money, baby. As a Royals fan, you're like, sweet. We can suck for the next 10 years, and I'm good with it. And that's how I feel. Like, and we are. Since then, we have. But I'm okay with it. If we rebuild it, get back there, that's awesome. But at least in my livelihood, I saw the Royals win 2 World Series, which is a lot better than most Major League Baseball franchises. But I never felt like the Royals are going to be the Yankees dynasty of baseball. No. Nobody has. But the Chiefs, you know, there's the comparisons of Mahomes to Brady, which I think are unfair to both. The Chiefs to the Patriots, I think, is way premature. I even said it after they won the first Super Bowl. You're going to be the hunted now. Everybody's going to circle the calendar. Everybody in the world is going to be against you. That you're a nice story when you win it the first time. But then everybody's going to get sick of Mahomes, get sick of the Chiefs, get sick of their winning all the time, and people are going to cheer against the Chiefs. Guess what happened? This year, AFC title game, everybody in the country, according to all the polls, were cheering for the Bengals to win except people in Kansas and Missouri. Why is that? Because the Chiefs are kind of the hated team, okay? Because they're the ones that are so successful. The only problem is they only have one Super Bowl right now. The Patriots had six with Tom Brady and made it to nine. The Chiefs have been at two. They've won one. I'm not saying they got to get the nine Super Bowl appearances with Patrick Mahomes and win six. I'm not worried about that comparison. I don't think Mahomes should be worried about it. I don't think the Chiefs should worry about it. And I think the Chiefs, I understand building expectations and understanding they want to be special. The problem is when you build those expectations and you as an organization and the players talk about, you know, dynasty, going back to back. I love the fact you want to go back to back. That's all great and dandy, but you are setting yourself up for failure because only one team in 32 every year hoists the Super Bowl Lombardi Trophy. Only one. And the Chiefs have found out now after winning it the second year, I think they thought, well, this isn't as hard as we thought. We almost beat them. If we had any kind of defense, we would have beat the Patriots. We might be back-to-back. And instead, well, we got to fire Bob Sutton. They did. They bring in Spags. Boom. We've solved it. We got better last half of the season. Defense was better. Mahomes and the Chiefs beat the Niners. Okay, this is awesome. This ain't that hard. Come back. Get everybody back. Whew, man, we're going to roll to another title. 14-1. I mean, come on. It was easy, right? It wasn't super easy, but they were making it look easy. They always found a way to win. Mahomes would never let them lose. And you're invincible. You go in the playoffs. You're at home again. You roll through the playoffs. You go in the Super Bowl. And then, boom, you get your head beat in. Now the invincibility is gone. Now there's even more pressure, I think. Because now the pressure is, oh, my God, we let that one go. We could have had back-to-back. We could have made history. Well, we got to get back. We could still make it. Three straight Super Bowls, two out of three championships. That'd be pretty sweet. Four straight AFC title games. Well, they get back to AFC title game, 21-3 lead, and they blow it. There's no other way to explain it. The Chiefs blew that game. You cannot convince me the Bengals won it. You know, you cannot convince me that the Bengals won the game. Joe Burrow made some plays, but for God's sake, go watch the film of the second half. If the Bengals had blanketed every receiver, Mahomes had nobody open to throw. If the offensive line was a train wreck trying to defend three guys and Mahomes was running for his life because he really truly had to, I'd be all about saying congratulations to the Cincinnati Bengals. Unbelievable defensive plan. They had everybody covered. They had figured out Andy Reid and, you know, way to go. That's not the case. Go back and watch the film. Their receivers open. There is time for Mahomes to throw. If anything else, too, Andy Reid could have prevented him from throwing as much by, I don't know, running the ball a little bit, as we know, against a three-man front. The point I'm trying to make is this organization is about a dynasty. After they won the first Super Bowl, is about a dynasty. Now they found out, oh, it was pretty easy to get back the second time, but then didn't win it. So then they're thinking, well, you know, we'll get back a third time. And then I think they were complacent early in the year, truly, honestly. Mm. I think teams made adjustments. They didn't focus as much as they needed to. They were 3-4 all of a sudden. It's like, maybe the Chargers are legitimate. Maybe we need to kick it in gear here so we can win our division, make sure we get a first-round game at home. Then they lucked out because the AFC was down with all the parity, got very lucky to get all the way to a 2-seed. They caught breaks there.
Yeah.
They caught a break to host the AFC title game. And the thing is, they didn't take advantage of those breaks. They didn't take advantage when they ultimately had it right there sitting for them. And so now when Mahomes is interviewed on the sideline of a Pro Bowl game and there's like, well, you know, we lost. It still hurts. It's going to hurt for a while until they get back to another Super Bowl. And that's motivation or offseason. Well, the Chiefs said the same thing last year after they lost to the Buccaneers. It's motivation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, great. But this year it didn't work out. So who's to say next year is going to be any better? I'm not saying they can't make an AFC title game. I'm not saying they won't win it next year. What I'm saying is, if you are a betting person, or if you understand the numbers, the pure numbers and logic, you know the odds are against the Chiefs next year. Now, they were against the Royals to make it back-to-back World Series. No question about it. It was against the Chiefs to make it four straight years in the AFC title game and have all four at home. I understand all those odds they have defied so far. But at some point, the odds even out a little bit. And maybe the evening out was them losing to the Bengals. Maybe that's it. That was the evening out. And now the Chiefs will go roll to two Super Bowl titles in the next 3 years. But that loss is going to sting for the rest of Mahomes' life. And if you actually would say as a player or coach that you're over it within a week, which I thought was a silly question. I mean, of course he's not over it. How can he be over it? If he's over it, then I'm really disappointed in my quarterback. So it's going to sting. It's going to bother him. But just because he's super – I see people that are Mahomes supporters, and I'm a Mahomes supporter. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I don't want him to go anywhere. I don't want to trade him for any other quarterback. But when Mahomes supporters are out there going, oh, this is going to serve as the ultimate motivation. He's going to kick butt, and we're going to go roll next year. Well, why didn't we roll this year to a Super Bowl? Because we had the same motivation after last year. Why should the motivation be any different whether you got blown out or blew a 21-3 lead? Either way, the Chiefs lost without winning a title. They were 2 wins away from a title this year. They were 1 win away last year. Why is the motivation any different? It should be the same. It absolutely should be the same. If you need a 21-3 blown lead to make you even more motivated, then I question the Chiefs and their motivations.
Yeah.
And there have to be changes on this team because I think there's some guys that did get a little fat and happy on this team, a few players in particular. So you're going to have to get some guys, and this is what Sir Petro's talked about before, and this is why it does make it remarkable that the Chiefs have not been completely satisfied. They've busted it hard. They've got the 4 AFC title games. They've been to 2 Super Bowls. Should have been a 3rd had they not blown the lead this year. But Sorens told me before, he said, you know, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, everybody was talking about how great it was. They were bringing back 21 of their 22 starters. And Sorin on his show, and he told me, and I think he said it on our show, I thought he made a great point. He said, everybody thinks that's a great thing. He goes, I don't think it is. Because you've got 21 of your 22 starters that can look at their ring every day and go, yeah, we got one. We got one. And there's 31 other teams going, I want one. Whereas if you got some new blood, and you get some other starters in there. I'm not saying you get rid of all your starters. But let's say they had 15 starters back, and you have 7 new starters. Well, now there's a little bit more hunger, right? Maybe those 7 guys push the other guys like, dude, I want mine. I want mine.
Yeah.
I came here to get mine. Let's go. I want my ring. And so I don't think there's any doubt the first part of the season the Chiefs, I think, were bored. And I think that's the biggest challenge you have to a team that's trying to become a dynasty or become multiple champions or have the expectations. Travis Kelce said it after last season, or during last season, that you, and Mahomes just said it there in that cut, you got to start from scratch. That's what makes it so painful for me as a Chiefs fan, watching them blow a 21-3 lead at home to the Bengals, is that now we got to start all over. And quite honestly, yeah, am I going to get excited if Mahomes threw a couple no-look passes and Chiefs beat the Chargers in Week 5 next year? Yeah, that's great. The Chiefs start 9-0. That's awesome. Does that mean, as a Chiefs fan, I'm not satisfied with that. As a Chiefs fan, I'm not satisfied unless they get to the Super Bowl and win it again. At minimum, they got to make it back to the Super Bowl. But then, of course, you don't want the, oh, God, they get there, but they can't win. They're 1-2 in Super Bowls. So you got to go win one. And Kelce and Mahomes and others have flat out said it. You can't blame the fan base for being greedy. If people outside of Chiefs Kingdom think the Chiefs fans are being greedy, like, well, you got your one, you should be satisfied. Well, that's true. Like, the Royals fans are, we got our one, we're satisfied, right? We're cool with it because we didn't expect it. But with Chiefs fans, like, if you're a Brady fan during his prime, or, well, Peyton Manning would be a great example. Peyton Manning, there was talk he couldn't win the big one. There was talk about the Colts couldn't put a defense together for him, and it was like, he's got to at least get one. He's just got to at least get one. He's got to get that one, right? Because he just hasn't been able to win one. He's got to get one. Well, he got a couple, all right? Got a couple. And when you have Brady in his prime, you're like, well, we got to get more than just one. I mean, come on. We got to get more than just one. And you're Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. We got to get more than one. They can't get back there. They only got one. They haven't been back. They haven't been there twice during Aaron Rodgers' career. So there are many teams that have the hunger or want and are disappointed when they don't win a Super Bowl or even make it to the Super Bowl. The Packers are a great example. But the Chiefs, they have created the monster that is expectations. That they have said it. They haven't hid from it, which I guess is credit to them. And they say nothing, anything short of a Super Bowl is a failure. Travis Kelce's on record of saying that. So now you've got to start from scratch. You've got to work on improving in the draft. You're going to have to get guys that you need to help this team. You're going to have to make some hard financial decisions with Tyrann Mathieu. Do you re-sign him or not? Do you offer him? Do you sign Orlando Brown to a long-term deal? Do you do a franchise tag on him? Can you bring Melvin Ingram back? Is he important to bring back? Do you re-sign Jerick McKinnon? There's all kinds of things for the Chiefs to deal with this offseason. Many things. And then you go into training camp, and then you go into preseason, and then you go into regular season. And honestly, it means nothing. None of that means anything unless the Chiefs win it all. It's as simple as that. So now we have to wait 53 weeks now. As Chiefs fans, we have to wait 53 weeks from now to find out, unless the Chiefs flame out earlier, then we obviously won't take 53 weeks. But as Chiefs fans, we can't wait for 53 weeks from now, 1 year and 1 week, to watch the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. That's all we're thinking. And can you blame anybody in Chiefs Kingdom for thinking that? Of course not, because the players themselves and the coaching staff and organization say it's Super Bowl or bust. Now, it's great to have this problem. Trust me, right now, Bronco fans would love to have this problem. Raiders fans would love to have this problem. Dallas Cowboy fans would love to have this problem. Everybody else in the league right now would love to have this problem, because nobody else has been to four straight AFC title games. Nobody else has been to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. You want to be in this position, don't get me wrong. But when you have to start from scratch, and it does make the regular season less enjoyable, because you're only thinking, at least for me as a Chiefs fan next year, yeah, I'm going to go to a game maybe. I'm going to cheer them on. They're going to win. But in the back of my head, I'm like, well, you know, that's awesome. We could go 15-2. We can go 10-7 and squeak in and get in the playoffs. It don't matter. All that matters is we win it all.
Yeah.
Which takes away some of the joy of the journey, doesn't it?
It does.
For me, it does.
Yeah. It's always in the back of your mind, and you're always thinking about that part of it. You know, when you start 3-4, you're just like, hey, can we get there to even have a chance to win it all the way they're playing right now? I mean, that's the only thing you're thinking about is still the end of the year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like we talked about last week. I mean, it does. It all feels wasted if you don't get to the promised land and then win the whole thing. Yeah. Like, once you've already done it and you have a team that – comes back with the mantra the next year, run it back, right? That's they want to do it again, obviously, if that's their slogan, if that's what they're trying to do, and the social media team's saying the same things and putting out all the, you know, the cool graphics and things that say run it back, and it doesn't happen, and then you feel like, oh, that was a waste.
Big disappointment.
And so that's where you're at right now as a Chiefs fan.
Now, two straight years of major disappointment. And I think this one hurts even more. This year, last year losing the Bucs, I mean, you know, it is what it is. The Chiefs were hurt right tackle, left tackle. Bucs took full advantage of it, made adjustments for the first time they played in the regular season. I'm still convinced that the Chiefs-Buccaneers didn't play in the regular season, that game would have been a lot different because they wouldn't have been acclimated to the speed. So that helped the Buccaneers. But to their credit, they made the adjustments. And you look at the Bengals and what they've done, you know, even though they won the first matchup, they made adjustments. Going the second matchup defensively, and it didn't really help them first half. In the second half, you can say it was the Bengals that got it accomplished. You can say that Mahomes and the Chiefs offense just flat out floundered, whatever way you want to look at it. But once again, this one hurts worse. To me, the Chiefs loss to the Bengals in the AFC title game hurts a lot worse than losing the Super Bowl to the Buccaneers 31-9. And of all the losses the Chiefs have had over the years, and there have been many painful ones, 38-10, you blew it against the Colts, lost 45-44. The Lynn Elliott game, missing three field goals against the Colts, who should have won. The no-punt game, that one hurt. Of course, the divisional game against the Broncos when the Chiefs started the wrong quarterback. I could keep going here with what the Chiefs have done in the playoffs. So the 21-3 lead against the Titans, and then they didn't score in the second half and lost 22-21. I can keep going. All of the horrible disappointments the Chiefs have had, all those playoff games, those losses. And I'll tell you right now, and granted, it's the most recent one, so maybe this is the one that hurts the most. But as a Chiefs fan, for me personally, that loss to the Bengals was the worst loss for me as a Chiefs fan that I've ever had to go through. And I've been through many, many really rough losses, no doubt, as I just went through. But the reason this one is worse is because, one, I didn't think it would ever happen with Mahomes. Two, the Chiefs are close to making history. You know, and Alex Smith and the Chiefs are up 21-3 on Tennessee. They're up 38-10 against the Colts. You know, Lynn Elliott misses three field goals in a playoff game when the Chiefs are a one seed. You know, those are all horrible losses. But there was not – I mean, yeah, Grant – I mean, it wasn't like history was in the making to be a dynasty or to do something super special that very few organizations have done. The Chiefs had a chance to do that. They had a chance to win two Super Bowls in 3 years. They had a chance to go to Super Bowl three straight years, which only a few people have done. And they had a 21-3 lead in the first half against the Bengals team that, quite honestly, wasn't that great offensively. And the Chiefs did their job defensively overall. They could have made a few more plays, yes. And so that's why, and I've had a few people ask me, why are you so not over the loss to the Bengals, Wade? I mean, we got a Super Bowl. Well, see that you're satisfied. As a fan, you're satisfied. You got your Super Bowl. You're happy. You're fat and happy. Now, I don't want the players to feel that way. I don't think they do. I don't think I want the organization Andy Reid to feel fat and happy or Brett Veach as a GM. So as a Chiefs fan, I'm more than happy the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. I can at least I can at least sit back and lean on, well, you know, despite all the disappointment of losing to the Bengals and losing to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, at least the Chiefs got a Super Bowl win so that we won't have to worry about late in the career of Mahomes, will he, like Peyton Manning, ever get one? Or we got to ever wonder about, you know, Dan Marino, you know, is he going to get back to the Super Bowl? I don't have to worry about that. Mahomes has been to multiple Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. Okay, we got that. I don't have to be a Buffalo Bill fan and make it the four straight Super Bowls, which is crazy, and then, of course, lose all four. So I don't have to worry about that. So that would be probably much more painful, going to four straight Super Bowls, being so close four times and never winning it. So the Chiefs do have one under their belt, and that is beautiful, and that is awesome. But for me, based on what this organization has built, how it's built, it's supposed to be good for a while. You got a quarterback in his prime who did not play well in the second half, as we know, in a big, big game, is that we need more than one. I mean, as a Chiefs fan, I feel like the Chiefs need more than one to solidify their standing as one of the best organizations in football when you go back and look at it years from now. Because the Patriots will be. And the Steelers back in the day, and the Cowboys back in the day, the Niners. Those are the four I can come up with that have been, you know, basically dynasties in the NFL. And I think the Chiefs could be that fifth one. I'm not saying I lose sleep because they're not going to be a dynasty or they will be a dynasty. But what I am saying is they have missed out on a golden opportunity this year. And I just hope this wasn't the beginning of the end in regards to winning Super Bowls or making it to the Super Bowl, because this team or even Mahomes can't fully recover going into next year. I think they will. I think Mahomes will. I don't know it for sure. Nobody does. That's why they play the games. But that's why I'm so still stuck on that loss against the Bengals, because I'm happy for the Bengals and their fans. The only good thing I take out of it was a different team that made it. It's not that the Patriots beat us like that. Then I'd really be mad. The Bengals and their fans deserve some joy. And watching Bengal fans celebrate on social media after they beat the Chiefs, that actually, believe it or not, that actually made me feel better. I know a lot of people would be like, well, that's stupid. But it made me feel better because other people got to enjoy what we as Chiefs fans have enjoyed the last, you know, few years, including a Super Bowl victory. So that's kind of cool. So at least if the Chiefs are going to lose to somebody, lose to somebody that hasn't been there for a long, long time, like the Bengals. But still, I look at the Pro Bowl and I see a little, I'm like, these Chiefs players should not be in this game. Kelce and Hill and Brown and Matthew and Clark and Mahomes shouldn't even be interviewed on the sideline of this game. That should be Joe Burrow and the Bengals talking about how great a year they had and next year going to get over the hump. It should be the Chiefs and the Rams in the Super Bowl. And you can't convince me otherwise. And no, the Chiefs didn't get cheated. They did it to themselves. The Bengals hung in there, came back. Chiefs allowed them to come back. Combination of both, fine. But me as a Chiefs fan, I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to sit here and go, yay, we won one Super Bowl, so I don't care what happens the rest of the way. No, no, no. This is a team that is built to be good for a very long time, unlike the Royals in 2015, where it was like, hey, man, you can stink for 10 years. I love the Royals. They got a World Series during my lifetime. I never thought they would. That's fantastic. And they exceeded any expectations I have. And 2014 was unexpected. The Chiefs, the expectations are much bigger than the Royals ever had. They have staying power, and that's why you really, really, really rue the day when you miss out on a gigantic golden opportunity that was took place a few weeks ago at home against the Bengals. And it just still, obviously, as you can tell, the Chiefs fan hurts and irks me, because that's one that will sting for the rest of Mahomes' life, the rest of Andy Reid's life, and it'll sting for the rest of those players' lives, especially ones that joined the team that didn't win a Super Bowl. Think about that for a second. You know, Melvin Ingram, that might have been his best chance to win a Super Bowl. And it's gone. So not everybody on that team had already won a Super Bowl. And it's still tough. Greatness of sports, right? There's the highs and the highs and the lows of the lows. The Kansas City Chiefs have hired Joe Cullen, former Jacksonville Jaguar defensive coordinator, to coach their defensive line. They're moving Brandon Daly from that position group to work with the linebackers. Cullen spent 15 seasons working with defensive lines for five teams, Detroit in 2006, moved through Jacksonville, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and Detroit. Spent one season as a Jags defensive coordinator before the firing coach Urban Meyer led to a change in regimes. Daly had worked with the Chiefs defensive line for the past three seasons. His move to the linebacking core fills an opening that was created when Matt House departed to become defensive coordinator at LSU. So Joe Cullen, who has had a pretty good track record, is going to be the defensive lines coach. He's even been defensive coordinator before, so maybe he has some new ideas. Him and Spagnuolo can work together, come up with some different looks, and do some different things defensively. Of course, it starts with the talent. You got the X's and O's, but it's all about the Jimmys and the Joes. You've heard that before. And the Chiefs need to get some more talent. They're probably not going to have Ingram back. Clark, I can't imagine having back next year. I think they could save a lot of money by cutting him after June 1st. We shall see on that. They're going to need pass rushers. They're going to need help. They need athleticism, pass rushers, guys that are disruptors on the defensive line. And that's where Joe Cohen could come in and maybe help improve the guys they have and then build upon the guys the Chiefs bring in. Head coaching searches. The Dolphins have hired Mike McDaniel. He is mixed. If you're wondering, was he a black coach or a white coach? Because you guys have been talking about all these coaching vacancies. Always been white guys have been getting them. He is mixed. And Mike Tomlin is the only African-American coach in the National Football League head coach. There is Robert Saleh, the Jets, Ron Rivera, Washington football team that are, I believe they're biracial. Which is it's fine. I mean, that you got four minorities, if you want to call that, which I still hate saying minority majority. I mean, I just feel like that's degrading as well, saying you're a minority. But anyway, that's the word that people use, so I guess we'll use it. That there are four minorities now, head coaches in the National Football League. Mike Tomlin, Robert Saleh, Ron Rivera, and now Mike McDaniel is offensive coordinator of the 49ers, new head coach of the Dolphins, which means there's two openings still available. Houston Texans, looking for a head coach in the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton had stepped down and resigned. And Eric Bieniemy had an 8-hour interview yesterday. Can you imagine having an 8-hour interview? Eric Bieniemy had an 8-hour interview yesterday with the Saints. So I don't know if that's – I mean, I would think that's good if somebody's willing to spend 8 hours interviewing you. I would imagine if somebody's willing to spend 8 hours interviewing you, they clearly like you. Clearly like you. So perhaps be interviewing the next head coach of the Saints, and the Chiefs will be looking for a new offensive coordinator. And then people say, well, Matt Nagy, he's out of a job. He was with the Bears. Maybe he comes back and he's Chiefs offensive coordinator. Chiefs will have a new quarterbacks coach. Some people said, how about Alex Smith or even Michael Vick now that Mike Kafka is going to be the offensive coordinator of the Giants? So that's an update on coaching vacancies. There are two left, the Saints and the Texans. We leave you with this. I have not followed the Winter Olympics very carefully at all. I have to admit, I haven't watched a single second of it. The 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, I can tell you that the U.S. took home the silver in the team figure skating competition. I can tell you that Michaela Schifrin, who was the defending Olympic champion, will not repeat in the women's giant slalom. She wiped out on her opening run. And let's see what else here. It was American figure skaters Madison Chalk and Evan Bates helped the U.S. edge Japan to win their first silver medal in the team figure skating event. Nina O'Brien, the top U.S. woman in the giant slalom, crashed just ahead of the finish line on Monday. U.S. figure skater Vincent Zhu test positive for COVID-19. He was scheduled to skate the men's short program tomorrow, so it's unclear whether he'll be able to compete. So just a few of the headlines from the Winter Olympics in Beijing. All right, folks, have a good rest of your Monday. We'll talk again tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. High school basketball tomorrow night. Our full schedule posted at ncksports.com.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.